Hi, everyone. Welcome to this edition of Roar Lions Roar. I'm your host, Bill DeFilippo, joined tonight by my co-host, Matt Filipovits. Matt, what's going on?
Bill, there's some storms rolling through my area today, and I think they're going to hit you tomorrow, you said. And I don't know if that's an apt metaphor for what is now the second transfer portal window opening up. But things feel a little uneasy, I think, around the college football world right now, at a time that traditionally has been very quiet and very boring.
Yeah, we're in that little period after spring practices that is normally reserved for coaches going out and recruiting, for players getting in some extra work and focusing on finals before a little break before the summer. But instead, like Matt mentioned, there's a window open for the transfer portal. We're going to get to all of that a little bit later. Obviously, the fact that we are doing this podcast we're doing it on Tuesday, releasing it on Wednesday. We're going to be talking a little bit about Keandre Lambert-Smith, primarily hitting the portal. But before we do that, we're talking about the blue-white game. Penn State played Penn State, and Penn State won while Penn State lost. White squad earned a 27-0 win over the blue team. Last year was a 10-0 win over whichever Penn State team won. And Matt, it's the spring game. We are doing this because we need to have podcast content, not because I think there's anything super mega insightful that either of us can add here. But do you think there's anything super notable, super, what's the word I'm looking? Is there just anything kind of off the top that you want to say about the spring game now that it is in our rearview mirror?
No missed kicks in windy conditions. That was fun. I liked that. What else happened? A couple of interceptions. One of them by Bo Prabula was essentially an arm punt. So that's always fun when you get to see one of those. No, the spring game is really, it's a practice. Like the idea that it's the blue-white game, it is a glorified one of the 15 practices. I'm sure everybody here understands that. And it's just a fun recruiting event, and it's an excuse to open the tailgate lots back open again one more time for the year. So not a whole lot we can take away. But with that being said, I think there's little things that we can look at and say, okay, they worked on important things in the spring, and not at a macro level. I don't think we can say that, but on a micro level, Abdul Carter looking really comfortable coming off the edge, I think was really exciting. AJ Harris and those wide receivers battling it out, clearly trying to make each other better. You can take something away from that. Aller, Prabula, Grunkmeyer getting more reps in the offense. You love to see that. Guys like Nolan Rucci and guys like Javon Williams and guys like Cooper Cousins getting a ton of snaps in Beaver Stadium is going to be important. So on a micro, like individual player level, there is some fun stuff. But am I ready to declare Penn State's season the best ever or over after this? No, absolutely not.
Yeah, we've said this on here for as long as we've been doing the podcast. The number one thing that you want out of the spring game is you don't want anyone leaving the game with potentially serious injury. And as far as I am aware, nobody got hurt and nobody left the game for being hurt. They took a lot of precautions with players to make sure they were healthy and didn't have to worry about anything. Just, per Audrey Snyder at The Athletic, a group of players that didn't warm up for the game. Katron Allen, JB Nelson, Drew Shelton, Sal Wormley, Hakeem Beeman, Zariah Fisher, Jackson Smolik. We know that he is going to be out for a significant amount of time due to an injury. Nick Singleton didn't play. Tyler Warren didn't play. Anthony Donko didn't play. A lot of guys, they decided to take the better safe than sorry approach.
And some of those guys wasn't even safe than sorry. That was just veteran spring, I think. Donko was probably safe than sorry, but like, what is Katron Allen going to show us here? Like, I think there's two different reasons, and they're both smart to take that precaution.
And Katron Allen and Nick Singleton not playing also opened the door for a couple of guys who I'm sure we will bring up at some point a little bit farther down the road. But again, the most important thing is nobody ended up getting hurt. we've all been to a blue-white game. If you haven't been to a blue-white game, I actually recommend it because, like Matt mentioned, it's a chance to spend a beautiful Saturday spring afternoon in Happy Valley, go into the tailgate lots, maybe you go into the stadium, watch a little Penn State football at, I don't even want to say quarter speed because that might be too fast, but it's a really good chance to just be in Happy Valley and be in an environment that we all love. And it is a fun weekend for those who end up going. I didn't go, Matt. You didn't go. We observed from afar. And one of the things that we were always going to pay attention to whatever level of seriousness, to whatever level of care of importance you placed in it, that was in the eye of the beholder. But obviously, everyone was going to watch to see what Drew Aller did in the spring game. And then a day later or 2 days later, some guy cut up a bunch of throws without context and put them on Twitter and then wrote an article about it to show that Penn State is in the danger zone with this big doofus playing quarterback.
I'm so mad at this, Bill.
With
I'm so
that,
he cut the touchdowns out. The touchdown balls aren't even in that highlight, quote unquote, highlight tape. Listen, Twitter is fake. I could not recommend more people to get off that platform. And this guy pays $8 a month for a blue check. So I cannot take his opinion seriously. So that's my take on this.
Yeah. And the thing is, all of this comes without context, without any sort of context. Yeah, there were some times where Drew wasn't good enough, and we'll talk about that stuff in a second. But there was actually one throw that I wanted to mention. I believe it was sometime in the third or the fourth quarter. I think he threw it to Andrew Rapplier. He threw it to a specific spot in the defense where if Rapplier just sits down, he catches it, falls backward, maybe gets into the end zone. Instead, Rapplier keeps running his route. And I think Matt Millen is the one who basically said that's something they're going to work on, that timing, that connection, etc., to be able to get that stuff down. And that stuff doesn't come through in a highlight package. The fact there were 40-mile-an-hour winds doesn't necessarily, that could take the ball a little bit, doesn't necessarily come through. But ultimately, on the day, 15 for 32 by Drew, 202 yards, the second blue-white game in a row where he threw for exactly 202 yards. And he had the one touchdown through to Andrew Rapplier.
So my thoughts on Drew are as follows. He has a big arm, and this was the first time I feel like they really showed it off outside of like that fireball of a West Virginia game. So right off the bat, I like that. Does he have to be better? Yes. Does he have time to be better? Yes. Did a lot of that fake highlight, quote unquote, highlight tape come in the third and fourth quarter with walk-on wide receivers? Yes. Aller very clearly has the tools that few quarterbacks possess. Everything else around him was not in position to succeed in the blue-white game on, what was that, Bill? April 13th, before the season even gets close to starting. So I think Aller showed a lot of things I was hoping to see. And by that, I mainly mean he threw the ball down the field and he spread the ball out a ton. But again, there are some throws that he has to make. I think that his footwork looked pretty good. I think Kotelniki's offense, we maybe saw 5% of it. So from that perspective, I think it was about as fine of a day as you could ask for from Drew Aller. Again, with the fact that it was April 13th and the season starts on August 31st.
Yeah, I think it's there were obviously some drops in there. There were obviously some throwaways in
that,
there.
That ball to Trey Wallace, yeah, that was in the end zone that he dropped. Dude, that ball, that was and the same thing to Malik McClain a couple plays later. Those were pretty placements.
Well, the thing with the Malik McClain one, the Trey Wallace one, Trey has to catch. Like, every single time Trey has to catch that. Yep. McClain, 100%. You want him to catch that, but I think you need to give a lot of credit to AJ Harris. Who did a really good job breaking that play up. But some drops, there were some throwaways. There also were times where he was just not accurate enough. And his feet really stick out to me. I think in a game like this, where he's not able to get sacked and he could just kind of stand back there and kind of hop around and do whatever he does, it makes that stuff look worse. I think when he gets sped up, he has bad habits with his footwork where he doesn't give himself that solid base. And I think the best example of that, and there were some throws in this game that reminded me of this, and I think this is an important thing to mention, was his pick against Indiana last year, where he's back there, it's third and a long way, he's dancing, he's got someone wrapped up around him, he kind of just yeets it down the field, the next thing you know, it's a fair catch for a safety. During the season, he's not going to be throwing that football. These will be sacks. These will be things that he has to go out of his way to escape out of. And in this game, I think when he got into those situations, he just got a little bit jumpy and threw it. That's still something that he has to sort out. He needs to figure out how to remain. And maybe he never does this. He has to figure out how to remain composed in these sorts of situations, how to rely on his fundamentals, how to be able to create that little bit of space in the pocket when there's a rush coming here, all these sorts of things. But I think this game basically meant just kind of the way that the circumstances under which it existed were the rush couldn't actually do anything about him, meant that he was always going to be hopping around a bit more and just kind of throwing the ball down the field. But there are still some things that, when it comes to just consistently being accurate, that's something he really does need to continue to work on. And I think really will continue to work on. I was really encouraged by the fact, and this is something that that Penn State mentioned in the press release for the game, 8 big plays. So plays of 15 plus yards for the White offense, 6 passing and 2 rushing plays, which I don't think it's a coincidence that they are trying to highlight this after how last year went. again, Audrey Snyder, The Athletic, it was something that you alluded to a second ago, Matt, mentioned that players estimated about 5% of the offense got put on display in the game. So it was a really boring, really bland, really vanilla football game, with just that one thing with Drew I felt we needed to mention. But now to open the floor up a little bit, Matt, were there any players on the offensive side of the football who you want to give a mention to for their performance in this game, for something they might have showed you in this game, or just because you think it's nice to give them a little bit of recognition in the aftermath of this one?
Caden Saunders, I think, had a pretty decent game. He had one play where he was one-on-one, and he absolutely torched the guy, and the ball was just a little bit out of reach. Yeah. That's exciting to see. I really do think he's going to be a big part of the offense moving forward. Quentin Martin, of course, going to be a guy we have to shout out here. 2 tutties on the day, which was cool to see. I thought Javen Williams played pretty well at left tackle. I think that was really exciting to see. And then outside of that, Khalil Dinkins had that nice little catch and run on that midline tight end screen that they loved to use last year. I really like that play. I'm glad it's sticking around. Those are like the big guys on offense who really, I thought, stood out to me. I mean, Trey Wallace game, and Liam Clifford, I think, is just a chain mover. And that's perfectly fine for what Penn State needs out of where he's going to sit in that receiving pecking order.
Yeah, I want to make sure to give both running backs who got consistent run in this game, Quentin Martin and Cam Wallace, a shout out. Mm-hmm. I thought Wallace is a guy who looks like he's just dangerous when he gets the football into his hands in space, which
he's natural,
just a bit of in a way that is different from the other dudes in this room. And then Martin, again, caveats of the spring game. He showed a little bit of that wiggle that Katron Allen has, but with a bit more burst and explosiveness behind him. Really promising player. I wanted to make sure we shouted out. And then I want to, Trey Wallace, 5 catches, 72 yards in this one. And Andrew Rapplier, Penn State's tight end room, you know, Tyler Warren is the top dog in the room, but Penn State has always, under James Franklin, given a lot of guys shots at tight ends. And Andrew Rapplier, 30-yard touchdown in the game. Drew Auer threw his way a few times in this game. So maybe that's a hint into what's coming this season. If they want a little bit more blocking out of their tight end, Rabelais seemed like a guy who you can kind of rely on to give you a bit of that. But just in general, it was good to see really all four of those guys, Wallace, Rabelais, Martin, and Wallace, who we didn't see last year, or in the case of Trey Wallace, we saw in very limited reps because of injuries, just go through a football game. Even a fake simulated quarter speed football game, and show off some skills, show off some things that could potentially be promising and that Penn State's missing on the, or not missing, but could use on the offensive side of the football. Moving over to defense, Matt, again, any players that you want to make sure you shout out here?
Abdul Carter looks like a natural. He had one play, I think it was pretty late in the game, where it's a handoff to, I don't remember who the running back was, but Abdul Carter just swallows him alive. That was pretty neat to see. His burst is just different. Tony Rojas, I think, played pretty well. I mean, Vanover, I think, played pretty well. Colin Dinkins, AJ Harris, I think those guys gave him some pretty good reps. And Zaki Wheatley getting a pick. I really do think that that guy's, from everything we've been hearing from the coaching staff, I really do think he's turning a corner. And in Tom Allen's defense, I'm excited to see if they can just let him play center field, and with those ball skills and with that length, if he can really be a ball hawk for this Penn State defense and clearly be the guy who leads that team in interceptions. I'm excited to watch where that goes.
Yeah, just I obviously it comes with the grain of salt that they were going up against a reserve offensive line, but I thought Abdul Carter, I mean, Vanover, just kind of the rest of the defensive line who played, showed some promise, showed some burst, showed some, you know, looked really exciting in the bits they saw. AJ Harris, not only does he look the part, but he's a guy who, with seven tackles, had that, like we mentioned earlier, that pass breakup against Malik McClain that was really impressive. You know, Penn State had Joey Porter Jr. As a cornerback who kind of basically took away half of the field. There was a lot of optimism that Kalen King could have been that guy last year, ended up not happening. AJ Harris seems like he could be the kind of guy who takes away half of the field if he ends up hitting, and we'll see if he's able to usurp one of those starting cornerback jobs from a guy who has been here a little bit longer and what he does if he gets on the field. And then just something I want to make sure I mention, Jalen Reed in that Lion role, that 4-2-5 kind of box safety sort of role, that is a really promising, really fun, and really exciting development. Reed is a guy who could do some, be a really special football player, who has the versatility to do a bunch of different things. And when you consider that Penn State's safety room has a pair of guys in KJ Winston and Zaki Wheatley, who have played a lot of football, who, you know, Winston, we saw so much promise last year. Like you mentioned, Matt, Wheatley, it seems like the light, by all accounts, the light has been turned on for him, and he's had a monster spring. That gives you a little bit of flexibility to say, Jalen, we're going to put you a little closer to the football. We're going to put you in different positions to take advantage of your athletic tools and just the fact that you're a really good football player. So seeing that was really nice. And hopefully we see more of that once the season rolls around. Yeah, Matt, I can't think of too many other things involving the blue-white game that I want to mention. Is there anything for you?
No, a lot of good stuff to build on. Kotelnicki, I think, is the right guy coming into Penn State at the right time. And listen, you said it last year. Like, in an install period, they put up 27 points when last year they put up 10 in the third year of Mike Yurcich. So I get it's not a one-to-one comparison, but I think that they are better suited, or the offense is now better suited to be successful than it has been in a while. And that says a lot.
Yeah, I wish I remember the circumstances under which they played this game last year and how much of it was the ones going against the ones, but neither here nor there. I think it's time to shout out our friends at Home Field Apparel. Matt, I'm not wearing any Home Field right now, are you?
I am not right now, but I did, when I was cleaning out my room a couple days ago, I did move one to the very top of my drawer, so I'm excited to rock that this weekend wherever I'm out and about.
Yeah, sometime this week I'm going to be doing my big annual spring cleaning, just kind of going through my closet, going through my drawers, all that, seeing what I'm giving to the Sal Val. And I promised myself that there will be nothing from Home Field Apparel going, in large part because I live in Columbus, Ohio, and I don't know how much demand there would be for Penn State gear at the Salvation Army. But for those of you who don't know, Home Field Apparel been our sponsor ever since we've gone podcast only. They've been nothing but great to us and nothing but great to Penn State fans. They have the best collection of collegiate apparel that you can find anywhere in terms of what you were getting by the designs and the work and the care that they put into things, what you were getting in terms of the collection of schools that they have. If you're a Penn State fan, they have an incredible line of Penn State gear. If you or someone else is a fan of another school, you can go to Home Field and you're probably going to find something for that school there. And then in terms of what you can actually get, there are t-shirts, there are crew necks, there are hoodies, there are joggers, there are
hats,
bomber jackets, there are hats. There's so much stuff that you can get from Home Field Apparel that just doesn't look like anything else that you have in your wardrobe. And if you are listening to this podcast, if you've been a long time listener of this podcast, you know this by now. If you're a new listener of this podcast, one, welcome. Two, we're sorry, just as a general thing. Five, yeah, leave us five stars, all that. We'll get to that at the end of the podcast. And three, you can use the promo code RLR23 for 15% off of your first order from Home Field Apparel. If you're, again, if you're a first-time customer, use the promo code RLR23 for 15% off of your first order at Home Field Apparel. Thank you, as always, to Home Field Apparel for sponsoring this podcast. Let's get back to talking about Penn State football, and let's start with a segment that we call Portal Combat.
This actually made me laugh out loud when I saw it in your notes that you called it Portal Combat. I did.
I stole that from somebody else unknowingly. Let me see if I can do a quick.
No, we're not written. We're not written anymore. We don't have the cider sources.
John Rothstein calls it Portal Combat, but we will also call it Portal Combat. And if you would like to sponsor the Portal Combat segment, DM us on Twitter. Even if you just want to give us $5, we'll say Portal Combat sponsored by Steve. Penn State lost two players in the transfer portal in this next portal period that is happening in the aftermath of the spring game. One, both of them are from the same position. Both of them are members of the wide receiver room. One is a guy that we knew was coming. Just all the writing was on the wall that Keandre Lambert-Smith was going to hop at the transfer portal. And then Malik Mega, who, respectfully, not really a guy that anyone expected to have a big role in the wide receiver room, but a guy who's done a ton on special teams for Penn State over the years. Special teams captain last year, etc. Couple quotes again from Audrey about Keandre Lambert-Smith. Didn't play in the spring game. There were reports he was thinking about entering the transfer portal. First from James Franklin when he was asked about Keandre Lambert-Smith. "I'm really happy to talk about any of the guys that played in the game today and are in the locker room. Besides that, I don't have much to tell you." And then a quote from Drew Aller about whether or not the players have spoken to him and if they expect him to be on the team. "That's a Coach Franklin discussion. I'm not going to expand on any of that stuff." So the writing was pretty much on the wall with this one. Lambert-Smith, 126 catches for 1,721 yards, 11 touchdowns in his Penn State career. Last year was Penn State's leading receiver, 53 receptions, 673 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Matt, really big loss for Penn. I mean, I have my own thoughts on Keandre that I'm sure I will get into and you will get into, and they're probably not too terribly far off. But ultimately, Penn State could have really used the best version of Keandre Lambert-Smith this season, and ultimately they're just not going to get it.
So that's a great caveat. And I went off the top, best of luck to Keandre. First, it's a kid. He's making what he thinks is the best decision. Don't be weird. Be nice, normal. Don't be weird. He's doing what's best for him. But you said it, Bill. They could have used the best version of himself. And a lot of the time, the best version of Keandre Lambert-Smith was on the field like a quarter of the time. And that's what makes it difficult. I honestly didn't expect him back this year anyway. Like and this is before he made the, you know, COVID decision to come back for his COVID year. I thought he was 4 years and done. Like, I was surprised that he came back in the first place. And it sucks that it's not going to end up working out. I do think it's a pretty substantial loss because, again, he was the leading receiver. When he's on his game, there's few who can do it as well as Keandre Lambert-Smith. But with that being said, I think we can all agree that that room needs a new, a fresh perspective. And I think maybe some new leadership and a new way of handling their business. Not that Lambert-Smith led it was wrong. I just think it needed something new. And I wish him nothing but the best. And I'm sure he's going to be successful wherever he goes. And I'm really bummed it didn't turn out the way I think it could have. And that sucks. And I really hope he finds it wherever he goes next.
Yeah, with how Andy Kotelnicki's offense works, a lot of pre-snap motion, a lot of playing with formations, a lot of getting guys a head start before the ball is actually snapped. I think he could have done some really good things in this room, but I come back to his final four games of the season. He doesn't have a great game against Ohio State. 6 receptions, 52 yards, 8.7 yards per reception. Offense just embarrasses itself. Against Indiana, 6 receptions, 96 yards, a touchdown that ended up being really big in turning around that football game. The following week against Maryland, 8 receptions, 95 yards, 11.9 yards per reception. 2 really big games off of a stinker where Penn State needed the best version of Keandre Lambert-Smith to give them a little bit of momentum heading into the next game, which is at home against Michigan. His stats after that: against Michigan, 1 reception for 6 yards. Against Rutgers, 0 receptions for 0 yards. Against Michigan State, 1 reception for 22 yards. Against Ole Miss, 0 receptions for 0 yards. With the way that his season ended, at a time when Penn State really needed him to be the man in that room, that was a big disappointment. For his season to end like that, and then for Penn State to go out in the portal, bring in a less talented wide receiver in Julian Fleming, and say over and over again that his maturity, his professionalism, his all these things were necessary in the room, did not reflect well on him. And I'm not saying this to excoriate him. I'm not saying this to insult him. I'm saying when you put these things together, they paint a picture of him that, you know, maybe wherever he ends up, he'll talk and he'll say some really revealing things. But he looks like a guy who just could not get the job done down the stretch last season when Penn State needed him to. He looks like a guy that Penn State felt they needed to recruit over him essentially and bring in a different alpha dog in the room where he was the alpha dog. And when you look at it like that, it's not as surprising to me that he is gone. It is not as surprising to me that he decided to dip. It is a bit surprising to me that he is dipping in the spring and not in the winter. My hope, Matt, is that, you know, you look at some of the schools that have apparently reached out to him.
Georgia, Auburn, the list in front of I want to say Virginia Tech was in there. It was some programs, which, again, he's probably the best receiver in the portal right now. And it's at a time where everybody's going to want proven playmakers. He is going to be a hot commodity in that transfer portal.
Yeah. And he now has the opportunity to kind of pick his spots, pick where he wants to go. I believe Colorado was also one of the teams that was mentioned in there. Auburn, Georgia, Texas A&M, Colorado, West Virginia were the ones that On3 reported. And
man, West Virginia would be
boy,
weird.
That would add just a little bit more intrigue to that first game of the season, wouldn't it? Hopefully him leaving means that it'll be easier for Penn State to justify to whatever person who writes checks to things to go out and get themselves someone in the portal. I'd certainly like that, but who knows? But ultimately, Matt, yeah, like, just a big bummer that Keandre Lambert-Smith isn't going to be here going forward. And one thing that I want to make sure I mention that I noticed, I always think in those letters that guys publish on social media saying goodbye, it's more important who they don't mention compared to who they do. And I, again, don't know anything. I don't have any insight here. I can't help but notice in his goodbye letter to Penn State, the word coaches never appeared in it.
Yeah, probably not great. From that perspective, at least. Again, he's been through a lot, like, in his time in Happy Valley. Essentially, this would have been his third offensive coordinator in 5 years. He was, I believe, recruited by Jared Parker and then was under Taylor Stubblefield and now ended it with Marcus Higgins. Like, listen, I get it. People want stability, and the Penn State wide receiver room has not had stability in quite a long time. So I understand that feeling of, like, you know, it never really got a chance to blossom in the way maybe anybody in that initial, in those initial conversations all those years ago envisioned.
Yeah, I'd certainly agree with that. And actually, a really interesting thing, 24/7 has its transfer ratings, and it has Keandre dating back to January as the number 12 receiver to enter the portal. Fleming is the number 10 receiver and actually has him graded out at the exact same thing. So, sure, why not? Second guy who was dipped in the portal, Malik Mega. Again, another member of the wide receiver room, 9 receptions, 106 yards, 1 touchdown, which came back in the 2021 season when he was a freshman. Was always a bit of a lottery ticket, always a bit of a guy who you hope you can mold, take his really interesting physical tools and turn them into something special. Never happened on the offensive side of the football. Ended up being a special teams captain, a really good gunner, for Penn State on its
really good gunner, mm-hmm. really good gunner
coverage. Yeah, I mean, stinks that he's leaving, because of what he brought to special teams, but this is his last shot to show that he could play wide receiver before the NFL comes around the corner. So I completely get it.
Yeah, the Canadian guy, so NIL is not really a factor here. Teams cannot collect NIL checks. And it's a bummer. Like, you know, he was a good special teams player. It was always going to be a long-term project. You know, it was year 5 for him. So I get it. Like, it's if you don't see a clear path for yourself here, go find a way to get on the field. And again, you can make a lot of money playing professional football no matter where you do it. And the Canadian League is going to be an option for him should he choose to take it. And you can make a lot of money doing that. So best of luck to him. I'm excited to see who steps up in his absence at Gunner. And just with any luck, Gabe Wosu is going to keep on booting balls on kickoffs. So that won't be much of a concern. And it's just crazy that 2020 receiver class, I want to say they signed 5 guys, and all 5 of them are now off the roster. Jaden Dotton is in Toledo, Malik Mega, Keandre Lambert-Smith, Norval Block, and Parker Washington were the 5. So kind of crazy how fast time flies.
Yeah, and Mega tweeted after, you know, initial reports he was hitting the portal, after a great 4 years, it's time for a new chapter. I want to express my deepest gratitude to the amazing fans, teammates, and coaching staff at Penn State University. Your support, camaraderie, and guidance have meant the world to me. I'm officially in the transfer portal, and yeah, hopefully he's able to land somewhere that, even if it's not as, you know, even if it's not big time, Big Ten football or something like that, he goes somewhere where he's able to play receiver, able to put up some good numbers, and able to get that call from an NFL team saying, hey, we want to see what you can do with the combine, or we want to meet with you at the combine, we want to bring you in for a workout, we want to see what you do at your pro day, all these sorts of things. So all the best for Malik Mega, all the best for Keandre Lambert-Smith. Matt, what are just your general thoughts on Penn State's wide receiver room now that 1.5 members of it, if you want to get technical, are now going and are no longer members of the room that was under the most scrutiny heading into this offseason?
So I think we're down to 13 scholarship players in that room now. I think one can be a star, Trey Wallace. I think Trey can be a star. I just think he's that good of an athlete. He's got to stay healthy. I am very intrigued by the next group of guys, and that's Julian Fleming, Malik McLean, Caden Saunders, Amari Evans, Liam Clifford. this, I don't want to sound like just like the eternal optimist, because I feel like I do that a lot. But like, I don't think that's the worst group to go into a season. I don't think it's notably worse or better than what they had last year. And I think maybe with a new chip on their shoulder, I think that's a group that can take a good step forward. Bill, does that feel too hopeful?
I mean, we'll have to go off of what James Franklin said. And what James Franklin said, quote, "I have all the faith in the world in our wide receivers in terms of talent and ability. We've got to take the next step. And I saw them take the next step this spring." Also said, "We've got to make plays against all the people on our schedule. All those guys are in the locker room for a reason. We have belief in those guys." Those quotes come via CJ Dober of Onward State. And I'm in full-blown show me, don't tell me mode. This reminds me,
100% agreed.
Reminds me a lot of a lot of the conversations that we had early on in James Franklin's tenure about the offensive line, because Penn State's offensive line consistently was not good. And a lot of that was due to sanctions. A lot of that was having to find guys and develop guys at a position where, you know, if you're not ready, you can't play. But because Penn State didn't have enough guys, guys had to play before they were ready. And I don't remember what year it was. It might have been 2019. But Franklin's kind of de facto approach to all of this all offseason in 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, or whatever it was to basically spend all his time praising his offensive linemen, saying he sees the improvement, he sees them being better, they had a great spring, they're this, blah, 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 blah. And then the season would start and Trace McSorley and Sean Clifford were running for their lives, or whomever were the quarter, or Christian Hackenberg running for their lives. And there was one year, again, I don't remember what year was off the top of my head, where Franklin basically said,
2021 or 2020, it was like 2021 or 2022. It was fairly recently, I think. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't remember off the top of my head. It could have been that. But Franklin's approach was, for years I've always said, I'm going to tell you the offensive line is doing great. This year, I'm just going to let them show you. And they ended up being a pretty good offensive line. And I would like to think that James Franklin has an understanding of which button to press with this sort of thing. And I like to think if he is saying this stuff about the wide receiver room, it's because through all those years with the offensive line, he kind of figured out what he needs to do. And I hope this isn't a matter of him feeling like he has to publicly praise his guys so they could feel some level of confidence here. I'm not certain it will be. As we have mentioned however many times, Liam Clifford, Julian Fleming, Amari Evans, Harrison Wallace, Caden Saunders, Tyler Johnson, Malik McLean, Anthony Ivey, Josiah Brown, Carmelo Taylor, Mekhi Flowers, there is talent in that room, and it's just about piecing things together, you know, not relying on the guys who are not ready to be on the field, but trusting that the guys who are ready to be on the field are in a place where they can positively contribute. So fingers crossed. I'm hopeful. I hope things end up working out for them. And I hope that with Keandre Lambert-Smith hitting the portal, we get to a point where Penn State is able to now go back into the portal and be a really appealing option for someone somewhere, because that would be pretty nice. Matt, any final thoughts before we send the people into this week on the transfer portal, on Penn State's wide receiver room, on anything related to Penn State football?
No, I mean, I think we have to get, I mean, listen, scholarships kind of mean what they mean at this point. It's just a made up number. But more guys are going to enter, both for scholarly reasons and for, you know, personal reasons for everybody. I'm excited to see where the roster shakes out. And I really like that, like, the portal ends on April 30th. Like, it's just really nice that, like, all right, April's over. From May onward now is that last run before we get to start really ramping up to the season again. So off season has flown on by. Now, really, the next big marker is probably like the freshmen getting to campus in June. So we are slowly marching towards a brand new Penn State football season, and I am excited to see what this next one holds.
Yeah, and we'll try and find stuff to talk about in the meantime.
Yeah, I'm not going to make any promises on our release, because I keep on doing that, and I keep on forgetting that it's us. So we'll be back in your feed whenever we are.
Yes, we'll be back soon enough. God, that makes it sound like we're not going to be back until the until right before the West Virginia game. We'll be back before then. Don't worry about it. We just have to sit down and put our heads together and figure out what exactly we're going to be doing over the coming weeks and months. But regardless, for this episode, thank you very much for listening. As always, to Roar Lions Roar. Again, make sure you go wherever you go and get your podcast. Subscribe to us. Leave us a 5-star review. Yeah, do all the stuff that we always tell you to do. Make sure you go and follow us on social media. Head over to YouTube, subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us at RLR Blog. And as always, shout out to our sponsor, Homefield Apparel. Again, first-time customers, use the promo code RLR23 for 15% off of your first order. One last time, thank you everyone for listening to this edition of the pod. For my co-host, Matt Filipovits, I'm Bill DeFilippo. Take care, everyone.
Go State.